ABF adults, senior highs, we're studying Revelation, and I'm still reeling from the last hour. Some of you will understand what I just said. John chapter 6, verse 16. Keep in mind that we're listening now to the Word of God. John 6, 16, when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father, we give you thanks for the truth. Thank you that in an ever-changing world and one in which philosophies about truth abound and the ignorance of men is clearly seen, thank you that in that environment, in that culture, in this world, we have truth. And it is your word. And yet, our ability to understand it is prohibited by our finite mortal minds. Holy Spirit, enlighten our thinking. Not so that we'd get smarter this morning, but so that your word might penetrate our hearts and change our lives, ultimately that Christ would be glorified. We desire to please you, Lord Jesus, so do your work through your word in our lives by your Spirit this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the May edition of Reader's Digest. I'll be selling copies afterwards. Just kidding. On the front cover, it reads, America's 100 Best New Discoveries. There's one in here that really captured my attention. It's number 9. Best Gotta Have It Brownie. Listen to this. We asked for the best brownie, and every reader across the country, or so it seemed, sent recipes. A longtime family favorite from Katie Barker of Layton, Utah, took top honors. This brownie is good. Mix 1 cup of soft butter, 2 cups sugar, 1/2 cup cocoa, stir in 4 eggs, add 1.5 cups flour, 2 teaspoons vanilla, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, are you drooling yet, and 1.5 cups of chopped nuts. Stir, they say optional on the nuts, it's not optional. Stir, pour into greased 1-inch deep baking sheet. Bake at 350 for 20 minutes or until done. Cover with a pound of mini marshmallows. Bake for 3 minutes. Add frosting, 1.5 cups of powdered sugar, 1/2 cup butter, 1/2 cup cocoa, 1/2 cup of canned evaporated milk. Pure decadence. Now you can take my word for it, or you can discover for yourself. I want you to understand something, that the disciples still hadn't discovered something, and so they needed a different vantage point. Now understand, this isn't the first time that they're in a boat in a storm and Jesus has to calm things down. If you go to the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark, they'll make it clear that before the feeding of the 5,000, they were in a boat, Jesus was in the boat, and he was down asleep in this huge storm. Remember the story? And they freak out, and that's biblical language, and they are just afraid. They're terrified, and they wake Jesus up. And Jesus kind of rebukes them on the boat, and he just says, "Peace be still." And they go, "Whoa, Who is this guy? So, you know, they already had this object lesson. They already had this sermon sack, and they still didn't discover what they needed to discover, or they wouldn't have had to go through it again. Oh, and by the way, they just came from the feeding of the 5,000. And there, if you read in Mark's gospel, and we'll look at that in a moment, but if you read in Mark's gospel, he'll let you know that they didn't get it. Even there, when Jesus prays and takes one happy meal or one brown bag lunch and he feeds 5,000 plus people, they still don't discover what they need to discover. So he sends them off. You need to understand that. John doesn't make that as clear as the other Gospels do, but Jesus sends them. They're not being rude. They're not tired of Jesus, and they're not leaving because they're mad. Jesus said, right after he fed the 5,000, they were going to make him king and all that stuff, Jesus departs, and he says to his disciples, get in the boat. How many boats were there according to John? One. And they left. Now I ask you something. John makes it clear in chapter 1 that this is God in human flesh. Does he know they're about to encounter a storm? This is chief meteorologist Jesus. Okay? He knows that they're about to encounter a storm. And he says, get in the boat and go. He goes up on the mountainside to pray. And so off they go. Now, why would Jesus have sent his disciples on that boat? And I think it's for this reason. I think that there are some sights that they can see only at sea. And thus Jesus says, get in the boat. See, the real test is not the test that you know is coming and you can prepare for. I want to know the restaurant that gets an A on its scorecard when there's a surprise inspection. Not the one where they can clean everything up right before the inspectors arrive. I want to know what their surprise visit score was. This is one of those surprise tests. You remember the pop quizzes? Do I hear some moans from the back corner? Do you remember pop quizzes? Those were the ones that you didn't spend hours studying for because you didn't know you were going to have it. There were a few of you who did that anyway, studied all night anyway, but most of us were too busy with extracurricular, unimportant things. This is sort of a pop quiz on this sea. And I want to ask this question. What did the disciples discover from that boat while they were taking this pop quiz? Well, first of all, from that boat, they could see Jesus. He is present. Wait a minute, Carl. You said back in chapter 4 of Mark, that's when they had Jesus on the boat and he was asleep. You just said they got in the boat, they went off, and Jesus went off to pray, so he's not there. Oh, yeah? If you read Mark's account, you'll discover that Jesus was watching them and he saw them working hard, rowing this boat in the midst of the storm. He is present. Now, you and I get in the boat that God has prepared for us, so to speak. And we hop aboard and we take off and we encounter a storm and we look around. And instead of being in Mark 4 and finding Jesus asleep on board, we look around and we don't see him. And we come to a conclusion that Jesus is too busy doing something else. Or we come to some conclusion that something that I've done has created a difficulty and so he doesn't want to spend this time with me. And we falsely come to the conclusion that he's not here. What did Jesus say? Matthew 28:20. I am with you always to the end of the age. So he wasn't just talking to those disciples because the end of the age hadn't come when they left this earth. He was talking to his disciples, including us. Romans 8:39. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The psalmist in Psalm 46:1 refers to our God as an ever-present, ever-present. That means he's always here. An ever-present help in times of trouble. And he concludes that psalm by telling us to do something in response. Be still and know that I am God. Flip back to the Gospel of Mark just for a moment. Keep your finger in John and go back to Mark chapter 6. You'll find that in that passage, he feeds the 5,000, and skip down to verse 48. Verse 47 of Mark chapter 6. Verse 45 lets you know that Jesus was the one who sent them off in the boat. Verse 47, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. So Jesus is on land, the disciples are on the sea. What does it say? Verse 48, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Jesus was there. I'm not sure they saw him until they got on that boat. I'm not sure they understood the fact that he was present. I'm not sure they understood in whose presence they were. And so Jesus had to put them on this boat so they could see something they hadn't seen before, and that was that Jesus was here. Almost 22 years ago in El Dorado, Arkansas, I got married. That startled some of you, sorry. And I was standing down here, and all of the guys and girls came up except for the one I was looking for. And you know, the music changes and started, and everybody stood up. Well, I couldn't see her. And I remember my father saying, who was standing up here officiating the wedding, he said, "Do you want to come up here where you can see? You can kind of hear this real quietly on the video." And so I stood up here. You know why? Because there was somebody at the back of the church that I was looking for. I couldn't see her very good because all these people rudely stood up. And I couldn't see her. So I got up here where I could. And that's what I think Jesus is doing. They didn't get it. They didn't understand whose presence they were in. And so Jesus goes, "Okay, do you want to come up here in the boat? Never mind, just get in the boat. Because there's some things that you'll learn about Jesus in a storm, in a boat called life, that you'll never discover anywhere else. Now you got to make a mess to make those brownies. You can take my word for it that they're good. Or you can make the mess and bake those brownies and try them yourself." And I think what Jesus is saying is, you guys, sometimes you got to get in the storm in a boat to see who I am and that I'll never leave you. Oh, sure, Jesus is here when things are calm, cool, collected, but, you know, let things get rough. Do you think he's still there? I know that we know that he's here. But when you hit the pavement tomorrow morning and you hit a wall, is he still there? When the waters get rough, when you paddle for hours and you hardly get anywhere, is he still there? You won't know until you're in the middle of that boat. And sometimes he'll put you in that boat in the middle of the storm, knowing that you have a storm to face. Not only, first of all, from that boat could they see Jesus, but second of all, they from that boat could see the sovereignty of Jesus. What do I mean by that? I mean that this is more than his power. It's his power at work governing all of creation. They didn't just happen to be in a storm. They didn't just happen to encounter that trial. Life isn't a series of chance happenings. Did you know that? Now, I with you will readily scratch my head and wonder what in the world is going on And how is it that God could be in control? Because I sometimes look at the circumstances of life and they scream at me and they say, nobody's in control of this chaos. And then I go back to the Word of God, the truth. And the truth says, I am in charge. Well, God, can I put these together? Not always can I do that. Not always do I understand. Oftentimes, hindsight helps me to be able to put the two together and discover what Christ was doing in the midst. Jesus is in charge, even of the storm. You see that repeatedly in the storm in Mark 4, in the storm in John 6. He is in charge. Mark 6:52 says they missed the discovery that was theirs to discover in the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was in charge. Psalm 135 verse 6 says, God does whatever he pleases. Psalm 115 verse 3 says the same thing. Daniel says the same thing. Ephesians 1:11 says the same thing. God is sovereign. Since Christ is God, he is sovereign. And so they didn't just happen to be in that boat, and the storm just happened to sweep down on the Sea of Galilee 600 feet below. It's Jesus who's in charge here. And I think he sent them on that mission because there were just some discoveries about himself that they didn't discover anywhere else. David Letterman showed a clip of an interview on television between two people, and he said, watch this. And I missed it. And then he went back and he explained what there was to see, and it was really kind of funny. There were two people sitting in this interview and talking, and behind them was a shelf, and there was a little mouse just having a field day back there, just enjoying life. It was comical that that was going on in the middle of this interview that they were filming. But if he hadn't pointed it out, I would have been absolutely clueless and would have missed a good laugh. If you don't climb up in the boat and weather the trials of life, there are a lot more important things in this world that you will miss about your Lord Christ than a mouse running around on a shelf. Jesus is God. And John writes these things so that you might believe in him. And that by believing in him, you'll have eternal life. He wants you to know who Christ is. And it was from that boat that they could see the sovereignty of Christ. Don't miss the sovereign God of the universe as he reveals himself to you. Remember that you might need a boat ride to see his sovereignty. Well, they, from that boat, could see Jesus. From that boat, they could see the sovereignty of Jesus. And thirdly, from that boat, they could see the strength of Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 4. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Keep your finger in John 6. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. This is the one that happened, the calming of the storm before the feeding of the 5,000. That's the one I talked about earlier, that he was asleep and the disciples were afraid, and he got up, verse 39 of Mark 4, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Now, would that like just blow your mind? At one moment, you're afraid for your very life. And in the very next second, the sea is still. It doesn't happen that way. Try balancing a cup of coffee without a ripple as you walk across the kitchen floor to the dining room. Not a ripple. Jesus took this tumultuous sea and spoke it still in Mark 4. And in John 6, after they'd been rowing for hours, sometime between 3 and 6 a.m., you got to believe they're worn out. Now, it's interesting that at this point, it doesn't say that the disciples were afraid. But in the midst of the storm and the dark, been there? It's dark, it's stormy, you can't see the hand in front of your face, so to speak. You don't understand what in the world's happening in your life. And it's chaotic and it's dangerous. And then all of a sudden, there's this ghost walking across the water. Has to be a ghost. People can't do that, right? My parents' house in Whitehall, the driveway was on the left side of the house, and the neighbor's driveway was on the right side, and there was a little bit of grass between the two. And I was going to get the trash, taking the trash can back, something, and it was dark, and it was at night, and I was walking back, and out of nowhere, like a ghost, my neighbor, Mr. Hollowaz, appeared. Scared me senseless. I had no clue he was there. And then all of a sudden, boom, there he is. And I went, hey! And, oh, it's just me, Carl. It's just me. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you back, but you scared me. And these guys are rowing for their lives. They're trying to get to the other side. It's dark. It's chaotic. I got to believe they're worn out. And all of a sudden, they start hallucinating, and they see a ghost walking across the water. Now they're scared. They've probably fought the sea before. But all of a sudden, here's this ghost walking across the water, and Jesus says, it is I. Don't be afraid. It's his very presence that offers comfort, that offers courage. They could see the strength of Jesus. After all, it takes a strong person to be able to walk across the sea. In fact, if you read the account of the other Gospels, it's this storm that Jesus says, if it's you, tell me to come out. Brave Peter, man, he jumps out. That has to be a highlight of his life. You're his grandson, you're sitting on his knee, and he's going, son, let me tell you about the time I jumped out of the boat. I was walking across the water. What happened? I sunk. Why, granddad, did you sink? Well, because I took my eyes off Jesus. See, it really wasn't about me. It was about Jesus. I was in the discovery zone. I was right there on that boat in the midst of the storm, and Jesus wanted to show me something about himself. And he did a good job. I'll bet Peter never forgot it. Peter, I am strong. You ain't. I can walk across the water, and I can even enable you to walk across the water, but you can't. And they didn't get that at the feeding of the 5,000, Mark tells us. Apparently, they didn't even get it when they went through the first storm before the feeding of the 5,000. So now they're on the second storm without Jesus. And I think it's interesting, in the first one, Jesus goes, I'm here, I'm just sleeping. We'll test. This time, you don't even think I'm here, but I'm watching. I'm right here. And at any moment, you may see me walking across the water. What incredible strength. William Barclay tells the story of a teacher in a little country school in England. She had told this story, apparently John 6, to the children, and she must have told it well, for the children obviously got the point. Some short time afterward, there was a great snowstorm. The teacher had the job of getting the children home. Sometimes she practically had to drag them through the drifts. It was tiring. Finally, when they were nearly exhausted with the struggle, she overheard one of the youngest say, in his best British manner, half to himself, we could be doing with the chap Jesus here now. Well, we could always be doing with Jesus. And we never, no matter how difficult the circumstances, have to do without him. He told Joshua, don't be afraid. I am with you. He told the disciples in Matthew 28, I will be with you always. He repeats it in John 14, his presence and in Romans 8 and in Hebrews 13. But sometimes in order to see who he really is and to discover what he wants us to discover about him, we have to get in a boat and we have to encounter a storm. Some of you there? I don't know about you, but when I get in that boat and I get in the storm, all I want to do is get it over with and get out. But that's not what I see in John. What I see is he longs for us to discover something about himself. And in fact, if I don't, I may have to get in another boat. Towards the end of the film of the book, The Railway Children, there's a scene in which the children hurry through the countryside to the railway station. They're expecting some momentous event to occur, but they aren't sure just what that is. When the train comes to a standstill, they see through the steam pouring out of the engine a figure on the other side standing alone. Roberta, the eldest child, can hardly believe her eyes. After all this long time without him, there he is. She hurls herself along the platform shouting, "Daddy!" All her dreams had come true. Her faith had been rewarded. Now all her worries could be put to the side. There he was, at last, her daddy. There was no more need to worry about him and his fate and their family's future. They would be together again. Her mother would no longer be lonely. The little children would no longer be lost without him, and Roberta herself would feel secure. Daddy would make their lives complete. He would ensure that they never went hungry again and fill the empty space that his absence had created in their hearts, in their lives. John says these words, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." It's in the boat that you and I see Jesus. It's in the boat that we discover his sovereignty. And it's in the boat that we discover his strength. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the discovery of Christ. It would not be ours lest you revealed yourself through your word to us. Lord Jesus, it is my desire that the facts that we have just heard would become our experience, and that as we encounter the storms of life from the boat, we might see you, that you are present. That from the boat we might see that you are in charge, even of the storm. And that in the boat we might see your incredible strength. May it be. In Jesus' name, amen.